In a moment, we continue the afternoon here on BBC Radio 4 with our classic serial, The World According to Garp. But first, Jenny Cuff has a question for you.
When was the last time you looked at your water bill? They've all been going up, but where does the money go? I've been trying to find out, and it's been an intriguing journey which revealed high dividends, big debts and complex company structures. Not at all like the dull and safe water industry we used to know. But what does it mean for bill payers? We look at two major water companies which are owned by international investors and ask if they've focused more on cash flow than customers. That's File on 4 on Tuesday night at 8.
And tonight at 9 on BBC Radio 4, Moneybox will be reporting on the Big Six energy suppliers, examining which of their customers will benefit from the government's Green Levy deal. And the programme looks at the government's pension policy, after the Prime Minister's pledge this week to keep the triple lock on the state pension if the Conservatives win the next election. Paul Lewis presents Moneybox tonight at 9 o'clock here on BBC Radio 4. Well, now we continue our classic serial. The World According to Garp, dramatised by Linda Marshall Griffiths, is John Irving's powerful story about gender politics and sexual violence. Lust, lunacy and loss weave through Garp's life as he vainly tries to protect those he loves.
In this dirty-minded world, you are either somebody's wife or somebody's slut, or fast on your way to becoming one or the other. I wanted a job, and I wanted to live alone. I wanted a baby, but I didn't want to have to share my body or my life to have one.
Mr. Wolf, there's a nurse here to see you.
Oh, who?
Good afternoon, Mr. Wolf. My name is Jenny Fields, and I have brought you a manuscript.
Indeed you have.
It's about me.
Good God, it's a mountain. Could you...
1,158 pages exactly.
Look, madam,
I think you're a sexual suspect.
Pardon?
That's what it's called.
A sexual...
That's me.
Right.
When can you read it?
Well, usually you would leave with my sec... Wait.
If you start now, you'll be done by midnight.
Well, you see, you're waiting.
My mother's book was more of a shock to Helen than it was to me. I had lived with her and was not surprised by her eccentricity. What I was shocked by was its success. John Wolfe was trying to find ways to get rid of her when he saw the first line.
In this dirty-minded world.
But later he was panic-stricken when he couldn't find her phone number.
Hello, Miss Fields? Hi, it's John Wolfe, the publisher. You came to my... Well, I'm really glad you came to us, because we'd love to publish your book. I think it's a revelation. It's going to be a revelation to many people.
And it was. A runaway bestseller. I hadn't counted on becoming a leading character in someone else's book before I'd even written my own. Helen and I were getting married.
I don't know why you two have to rush into all this.
Mom, we want to have children.
Well, you'll never finish a novel with children.
We're hard workers.
You'll have to be. I don't know why you couldn't just live together. Although why anyone would want to live with anyone else is beyond me.
I used to like living with me.
It's lust. The world is sick with lust.
We love each other.
Lust will get you all in the end.
It was the lust chapter in A Sexual Suspect that was especially embarrassing. It was one thing to be a famous child born out of wedlock, but another to be a famous case history of adolescent need.
What exactly does she know about lust? It's like listening to a plant describe the motives of a mammal.
It's funny.
What, my private randiness?
So I don't understand your attraction to prostitutes.
I was a kid.
So now you're grown up? Are you?
I'm marrying you, aren't I?
And that makes a difference. Does it?
Yes, of course. Of course.
Oh, here's another review. The first truly feminist autobiography that is as full of celebrating one kind of life as it is full of putting down another.
These days, you're either going to be taken as the right voice at the right time, or you're going to be put down as all wrong. You're the right voice, Jenny.
But I don't understand all
these
reviews.
You don't need to. I don't think the people who write them do either.
Do you always bring your writers here, John? That's very...
Only my favorite ones.
You know, I don't like the word feminism. I don't know what it means. I was trained to be a nurse. It seemed practical to me as a healthy person to help those who weren't so healthy or, you know, couldn't help themselves. I think it was simply in that spirit that I wrote the book.
People see it as a political statement. Some young women at Florida State University have been plotting their own pregnancies. They call it doing a Jenny Fields.
Well, at least they're making conscious decisions about the course of their lives, even if they're unpopular. Just like men, right?
Right.
So, if that makes me a feminist, I guess I am.
You know, you could write an advice column on any newspaper in this city,
Jenny. I'm done with writing. I have my parents' house in New England. I'm near Garp. They're having a baby, you know. I have this idea. I'm a nurse. I'll always be a nurse. That's what I am. I want to help women. As a counselor, I don't know, as a... I could offer them comfort. That big old empty house. I could help them make decisions.
Even weird decisions, but we were happy and taken care of. We had our first boy and we called him Duncan. He was the reason my first novel had so many short chapters. Helen was at school. I took care of him. I loved it. I loved the idea of never having to go out. I wrote, I cared for Duncan, and I cooked, and I wrote, and took care of Duncan some more, and cooked some more. And I saw my mother more, which I liked. Although I didn't necessarily like her new entourage.
Hey, Mom, we're here. Right, buddy, you ready for this last spoonful?
Hello.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, dear.
Let me try.
Hi.
This is Amanda.
Hello, Amanda. Are you my mother's new bodyguard?
Stop.
What?
Right, Duncan, sweetheart. Here comes the Pasta Express.
Oh, he's a champion eater. I was going to take him out in the buggy if you want to come.
Want to, Amanda?
Doesn't she talk? What?
Amanda, why don't you wait outside a minute? We'll get the baby ready.
Hey, hey, we were listening to that.
Stop.
Well, what's wrong with that woman's tongue?
Cut out.
Pardon?
You don't read, do you?
Is it such a famous tongue accident that I don't know about it? Come on, buddy, out you come.
It wasn't an accident. It was deliberate.
Someone cut her tongue out?
Precisely.
Oh, God.
You haven't heard of Ellen James?
No. Can you get his other shoe?
Here.
What happened to Ellen James?
Two men raped her when she was 11 years old.
Oh, God.
They cut her tongue out so she wouldn't tell anyone who they were or what they looked like. They were so stupid they didn't realize an 11-year-old could write. Ellen wrote a very careful description of the men. They were caught, tried, and convicted. In jail, someone murdered them.
Wow. Wow, so that's Ellen James?
No, that is someone from the Ellen James Society. Ellen James is still a child.
You mean this Ellen James Society goes round not talking as if they didn't have tongues?
No, they had their tongues cut out to protest about what happened to Ellen James.
Oh, boy.
They call themselves the Ellen Jamesians.
I don't want to hear any more of
well,
this.
Well, Amanda is an Ellen Jamesian.
How old is this Ellen James now?
12.
And these Ellen Jamesians, do they have meetings? Elect presidents? I mean, how does that work exactly?
Why don't you ask her?
How can I ask her if she doesn't have a tongue?
She writes. All Ellen Jamesians carry little notepads around with them.
Oh, they're probably lousy at talking anyway.
You're a little short on sympathy.
I have lots of sympathy for Ellen James.
These women have suffered in other ways.
So they inflict more suffering on themselves?
Rape is every woman's problem.
It's every man's problem too, Mom. I mean, should I cut off?
No!
Wrap it around my neck? Would you respect that too?
We're talking sincere gestures.
We're talking stupid gestures.
Oh, that's...
As we came out, the big woman without the tongue gave me her note. It said, "Your mother is worth two of you." But hey, I didn't complain. For the first 5 years of our marriage, Mom paid the bills. I called my first novel Procrastination because it took so long to write. John Wolfe published it.
One of the reviews said that it's amazing that the son of Jenny Fields has actually grown up to be what he said he'd be.
That's cute.
No, I don't want to be cute.
Okay, so it's irrelevant.
Why can't my book be read for its own faults or merits?
Because the hard fact is that most readers are probably more interested in who you are than what you've written.
Oh, fabulous.
It's never going to be a popular book.
Great.
Is that what you want? To be a household product?
What, like my mother?
Gob, if you want to be rich and famous, get in another line. It's not that kind of book. You're not that kind of writer. And never will be. You wrote a serious book. It was published seriously. If you want to make money, you're talking another world.
I know.
This is just the first of many books, Gob.
And we're having another baby.
Great. Wow.
It was my idea. I was an anxious father, and I wanted to relieve Duncan of some of my fatherly fears.
Aren't you happy?
I'm happy.
Well, then relax.
I'm trying.
You wrote a good book. Now you'll write another.
I know, but the reviews...
Who cares about reviews? You don't care about reviews.
The sales are terrible. You think Mom sold all those books?
It's a totally different ballgame.
She's got all those sycophantic friends
Wait,
hanging off her every word.
You want some sycophantic
friends? No. Not really. Maybe one or two.
You want too much.
I know.
You want the world to say, I love your work, I love you.
Exactly.
That's too much to say. That's sick, in fact.
You said it. That's exactly what you said. You said you loved my story. That's why you married me.
But there can only be one of me.
You are the wisest of my life decisions.
Thank you. So what are your unwise decisions?
Just one. It was a babysitter and it was brief. Soon a second child would join our adventure, and although Helen said she hoped for a girl, I wanted a boy. Why? Because of the tongueless Ellen James, because of my own mother's difficult decisions, because of Charlotte and Cushy Percy and the babysitter. Her name was Cindy. She cried and said she loved me, and although she still had her tongue, she hadn't been able to say a word when I left her. I didn't want a daughter because of men, because of bad men, but also because of men like me. But it was a boy, Walt. He was simply a T at the end of a wall, like a beaver's tail smacking the water, like a well-hit squash ball. He dropped into our lives and we had two kids. I was writing my second novel. It was a serious comedy about marriage.
Oh, God.
It was a sexual farce.
Oh, boy.
It's not about us.
You're always telling me that autobiographical fiction is the worst
You'll
kind.
See, it's a comedy. It's about two married couples who embark on an affair.
Is there something you're not telling me?
And it was a flop. It undersold my first novel by a few thousand copies.
Hello?
Hi, Mom. We're in here.
You okay?
Yep.
I saw the reviews.
Whatever.
Well, I told you you'd chosen a narrow subject.
What do you mean I'd chosen a narrow subject?
Of little universal importance.
You mean sex?
Precisely. This is Roberta, by the way.
Could she not speak either?
Try her. Where's Walt?
Post-breakfast nap. He fell in his porridge. I'm Garp.
I know.
You my mother's new bodyguard?
If necessary.
He's certainly tall enough.
6'4".
What did you say your name was?
Roberta Muldoon.
Have we met?
You watch football?
Sure.
I was tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles.
What did you say your name was?
Muldoon.
Robert Muldoon?
Yes.
6 touchdowns in your first season?
7.
Wow! Oh, you're a great catcher, man. Amazing hands.
It's always the giveaway.
And now you're a...
A woman.
Right.
I was having this knee operation. I read your mother's book.
And
nothing had ever spoken to me my whole life. I wanted to live a different... And she gave me the courage to have the...
Wow.
We met. Love at first sight for me. I mean, I love her. She's so brave. Well, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And she's helping me fight the networks.
TV?
They decided they can no longer use me as a sports announcer.
Because now you're a...
They don't know what I am.
Well, good for you.
You mean that?
Of course.
Hey. Well, you're better than I thought. Cute in a kind of teddy bear way.
Thanks.
Not my sort, don't worry. Yeah, I know about...
Yeah, everyone knows about
that. But I get it. You know, once you lose the testosterone, you wouldn't dream how much more there is to think about.
Thanks.
Just kidding.
So, you miss playing?
Of all the questions, only a man would ask that. Yeah, sure, I miss playing. I love the game. You play squash?
Badly.
Want to play sometime?
Yeah. I'd like that.
Can you take being beaten by a woman?
Hey, you're a definite improvement on the Ellen Jamesians.
Have you got time with your writing?
I'm not writing.
You're not writing?
I haven't since the...
It's other... one novel, Garp. Who cares what people think?
You haven't seen my hate mail.
Heard. I have read your novel, and you seem to find other people's problems very funny. I've seen your picture with your fat head of hair. I suppose you can laugh at bald people. In your cruel book, you laugh at people who aren't blessed with happy marriages, people whose wives and husbands are unfaithful. You ought to know these people do not find these things so funny. Look at the world, turd. It is a bed of pain. Nobody believing in God or bringing up their children right. You clearly don't have any problems, turd. So you make fun of people who do. Yours sincerely, I.B. Poole, Mrs. Finlay, Ohio.
Dear Mrs. Poole, you're right. The world is a bed of pain, and few of us believe in God or bring up our children properly. I know people who have problems usually don't find them funny, but you are wrong to think I am laughing at people. I take people very seriously. People are all I take seriously. Therefore, I have nothing but sympathy for how people behave and nothing but laughter to console them. Yours truly, Turd.
Dear Mr. Garp, I never thought you would take the time to write me a letter. You must be a sick man. I can see by your letter that you believe in yourself, and I guess that's good. But the things you say are mostly garbage and boring and an insult to my intelligence. Yours, Irene Poole.
Dear Irene, you should either start trying to read books or just try a lot harder.
Dear Turd, my husband says if you write to me again, he'll beat your brains to a pulp. Very sincerely, Mrs. Fitz Poole.
Dear Fitzy and Irene. Okay, so I lost my humor. My imagination was failing me. I stopped writing. It was easier somehow than starting something new.
Dad, can I spend the night at Ralph's?
What? No. When?
You reading the Yellow Pages again?
Duncan, did you know, in this book, what marriage is listed next to?
What?
Mail order, manholes, maple sugar, then marriage counselors.
What do you need a marriage counselor for?
No. I'm thinking...
What?
I'm just looking for names for my new novel.
You're writing a new novel?
Sure. Eventually.
Dad,
Listen to this. Reverend Dwayne Kantz, certified All Souls Minister.
Not sure about the name, Dad.
Certified of what? Dr. O. Rothrock. Rothrock? That's made up. Although, could you make that up? Rothrock? What is that? You know what Rothrock offers?
No.
Self-esteem workshops, bank cards accepted. Now that, my boy, is a charlatan.
Dad.
M. Neff. By appointment only. So, where's your qualifications,
Dad.
Neff? You are supremely confident or arrogant. You're serious, Neff. I like that. You have a vision.
Dad!
You think I could be a marriage counselor?
If I don't call Ralph back, his mother won't let me go.
Ralph? Ralph isn't here.
No, Ralph is at his house and I'm at my house. And I would like to go spend the night at Ralph's house.
Not on a school night.
It's Friday.
Ask your mother.
She's not here.
Do you think it's audacious of M. Neff not to say anything about his qualifications?
You're changing the subject because you don't like Ralph.
I like Ralph.
Okay, you don't like his mother.
Well, she went out that night and left you on your own.
She says she's got to know before supper.
Why can't Ralph stay here?
Ralph always stays here, and I want to go there.
Why?
Oh, I don't know. So we can smoke and drink and kill small animals. Joke, right?
Why not ring Mrs. Ralph?
Mrs. Ralph? You call her Mrs. Ralph?
And say you have to wait until your mother...
Mom's just gonna say ask Dad. That's what she always says.
Don't be smart.
What are you scared of?
I'm scared she'll fall asleep with her cigarette and it'll set fire to her hair and burn you up in the night.
You know, Dad, you should get out more. Maybe you should get a job.
Okay, go. I say no more. Take your sleeping bag, the yellow one.
I know.
Hey, I'll give you a ride.
I'll take my bike. Anyhow, Mom's got the car. She's picking Wald up.
Why don't you walk?
Why would I walk?
So your spine won't be severed when a car driven by a drunken man suffering a heart attack swipes you off the street, and your wonderful warm chest is cracked open on the curbstone, your special skull split open when you land on the sidewalk, and then some fool wraps you in an old rug as if you were somebody's pet discovered
Dad,
in the gutter.
I have to go.
Okay, just be careful.
I know.
Hand signals.
Oh, and look before I turn, I know.
Why are all serious jobs done by quacks? I mean, I could place an ad in the Yellow Pages. Marriage Philosophy and Advice, T.S. Garp. Author of Procrastination and Second Wind of the Cuckold. Do I need the novels? Well, I guess they sound like marriage manuals. But would I see people at home or in the office?
Duncan!
I raced down the street after the sound of the car. It took me 3 stop signs to reach it. A woman. Earrings glinting and bracelets. I rapped on the window, ready to tear her to pieces.
Yes?
It was Mrs. Ralph. She'd been crying.
What is it?
I was suddenly sorry for her whole life. She looked like she was suffering her middle age like the flu. Her body was rumpled with misery.
Well?
I'm Duncan's father.
I'm Ralph's mother.
I know.
Oh, you think I'm a terrible mother?
No, I don't know what kind of... Ralph's a nice kid.
He can't be a swine.
Look, I'd be glad to take the boys. They could spend the night with us if you want to be alone.
Alone? I am always alone. I like having the boys with
me. Okay.
They like it too. Know why?
No,
there's
why?
A crack in the door. They watch me take a bath. What do you think of that?
I think you're unhappy.
Your kid's safe with me. Don't worry. I don't smoke in bed.
Look, I'm sure it's good for the boys to watch you take a bath.
It didn't do my husband much good, and he watched me for years.
Well, husbands are funny. I don't think they know what they want.
Hey, he knew what he wanted. A 19-year-old tart.
I'm sorry.
I bet you think all I need is a good leg.
No, I don't think,
I bet you think
no.
I'd let you do
I
it.
I don't think
yeah,
you
would.
Yeah,
you think I'd love it.
No,
and in your
I don't.
Case, I just might. It may even make you just a little less smug.
Hey, you don't know me.
I know you're smug.
Please drive carefully.
Is that why you stopped
me? You were driving too fast.
I think you're a pompous fart.
And I think you're an irresponsible slob. Look, I'll come pick up Duncan, okay? I'm sorry.
Look, I can look after him. I really want to. He'll be all right. I'm not a slob with kids.
I'm sorry.
So am I.
Madwoman's house.
Cheese.
More cheese?
Well, you do it.
Yep.
You're the one who's worried.
You didn't see how she drove.
Well, she's not driving them around.
She might take them out for pizza. I'm sure she can't cook. My mother would love her.
Don't starve your mother.
Finish your pasta, Walt.
Up your wazoo.
Nice talk, Walt. I don't have a wazoo.
Yes, you do.
He doesn't know what he means. I'm not sure I know what it means.
It's not nice to say that.
He heard it from Duncan.
Well, Duncan gets it from Ralph, who no doubt gets it from his goddamn mother.
Hey, watch your language. Walt could easily have heard it from you.
Watch your language, Dad.
It wasn't me. I never used the word.
You used plenty others like it.
I don't even know what it means. What does it mean, Walt?
Garp. Wazoo means wazoo. You goddamn stupid.
See?
Eat your pasta.
I don't like it.
I don't care whether you like it or not.
No cheese!
You ate all the cheese off the top of it and off the top of mine.
Stay calm.
I'm calm.
What's so stuff in it?
Vegetables.
Pew.
Whoa.
Eat!
Stop worrying. You're worrying. I can hear you worrying.
You can hear me worrying?
Yes.
How?
Next thing there'll be a story.
What story?
Daddy's making you a story, aren't you?
Yeah.
See?
Can we start it now?
When you're ready for bed.
Can I get down?
After you've eaten your pasta.
Aww.
Remember, he's a kid.
I know he's a kid.
Don't frighten him.
Okay, so, there was a dog.
You brush your teeth?
Yep. What kind of dog?
German Shepherd.
What was his name?
He didn't have a name. He lived in a city in Germany after the war.
Which war?
World War II.
Okay.
And the dog had been in the war. He'd been a guard dog, so he was very fierce and very smart.
Very mean?
During the day, he was tied up in this alley by the cafe, on a long chain tied to an axle of an old army truck with no wheels. It was just long enough so the dog could walk to the end of the alley.
Would he bite you?
And he never bit anyone, or I never heard he did.
You were there?
Yep.
It's what they mean by a dog's life.
Hey, don't eavesdrop.
Don't talk so loud.
What happened?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Well, almost nothing. There was this cat.
Oh, sure. A cat.
A terrible cat.
Why terrible?
Because he teased the dog.
Teasing isn't nice.
Teasing is terrible. But he was an old cat off the streets, mean and dirty.
What was his name?
He didn't have a name. He only had one eye. And the other eye had been missing so long that the hole had closed up and the fur grown over it. He didn't have any ears. He had to fight all the time.
Poor thing.
Every day the cat would walk down the sidewalk and stop to wash himself at the end of the alley. The dog would come out running so hard the chain wriggled like a snake that had been run over in the road. You ever seen that?
Sure.
But the dog would get to the end of his chain and would be tugged off his feet, his neck snapped back. The cat would never move. The dog went crazy. He'd bark himself hoarse until someone shooed the cat away.
I hate that cat.
So did I.
Go on.
One day, everybody thought the dog had gone mad. He kept running out from the truck, way up the alley until the chain jerked him off his feet. Then he'd do it again. The cat wasn't even there, but he kept doing it until his neck was sore.
It was sad.
But was he smart?
I think he was smart.
He was. Because all the time he was moving the truck, he was tied to just a little bit.
Did he move it enough?
He needed just a few inches. What do you think?
I think he did it.
The next day, the cat came and sat down on the sidewalk at the end of the alley and began to lick his paws. He rubbed his wet paws into his old ear holes and rubbed his paws into his old grown-together eye, and he stared down at the dog, and the dog came out.
I think the truck moved enough.
The dog ran up the alley faster than ever before, and the cat didn't move, although this time, the dog did catch him. He got his mouth over the cat's head, but the chain choked him so badly he couldn't shut his mouth, and he gagged, and he jerked back, and the cat realized that things had changed, sprang away.
Good Lord.
Oh, no.
And of course, you can't fool a cat twice. The dog blew it. He would never get another chance like that again.
That was a terrible story.
But something else happened.
What?
The cat was so scared, he ran into the street without looking.
I know what happened to Cat.
Smack! Killed just like that. Nobody could fix him.
A car?
A truck. Ran right over his head. His brains came out of his old ear holes.
Squashed?
Flat.
Wow.
The end. Good night.
Good night. Why did my dog have a name?
I don't know. Just don't run into the street without looking, okay?
Okay, Dad.
Night, buddy. Sweet dreams.
But how could the dog have been in the war? It was 20 years later.
It wasn't the dog, it was his owner.
And the cat ran into the street?
No. I added that bid for Walt.
Of course.
The chain was plenty long enough, the cat didn't get away.
And the dog killed the cat?
Bit him in half.
I think it's better if the dog wasn't in the war.
That's interesting, because I just this minute made it up.
About the war?
More than that.
What part?
All of it. Come to bed.
You never tell me the right version.
There is no right version. There are many versions. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
You sleeping?
Yeah.
Which story did you like best?
Write it down.
I can't write it down. I can't write anything down. Helen. You sleep? Hold on, Walt.
Daddy! I can't move my legs! I can't run! Help! Hurry! Daddy!
Hey.
Daddy, I ran in the street.
It's just a dream.
I didn't mean to.
You're at home. You're here. Look at me.
There were tanks.
What were tanks?
On the street, but they didn't see me.
It was just a dream.
They couldn't see me because they had those little slits in my...
It's gone. It's gone.
Don't go, Dad.
No. I'll stay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay. It's just a dream. Just a stupid dream.
It was huge.
What was huge?
The dog. The chain
snapped. Don't think about it. Sleep. You're safe. It's just a beagle, you know, in real life.
What was?
The dog. Or was it a schnauzer? It's okay. Going for a run.
It's the middle of the night.
I'm gonna check on Duncan.
Why?
Because nothing's safe.
What do you mean?
I need to know he's okay.
How are you gonna do that?
I don't know.
Every window glaring, the front door open, the cancerous television violently loud. I look through the window. The television rays pulsate through the living room, and crammed against the sagging couch are the casual bodies of my son and Ralph. Asleep, of course. But it looks like the television has murdered them. In its light, their faces drained of blood. Where's Mrs. Ralph? Head in the oven? On fire, in bed with a cigarette? On the kitchen table, there is a bottle of gin. The sour smell of slashed limes. A falling body opens the stairway door. There she is. A kimono-style robe, wide open. A miraculously unspilled drink in her hand.
Bottoms up! Is my back broken?
Anybody home?
Well, I live and breathe.
You okay?
What are you doing here?
I was running.
Right.
I saw the lights on, thought I'd... there might be trouble.
Well, you're too late. They're dead. I should never have let them build that bomb. You want to see the bodies? There. Sweet dreams.
Thanks, I was just...
Don't go. You could at least stay and talk to me.
About what?
You probably think this happens to me all the time.
No.
Yes, you do, that I get my rocks off by humiliating myself.
I don't think that.
I hope you never walk out on your wife.
I won't.
It is the meanest thing you can do. You know what my husband told me?
No.
He had been faking it for years. He said that any woman, young or old, looked better to him than I did.
That's not very nice.
Aren't you cold in these shorts?
What? Hey, please don't do that.
No joke, huh?
Hey, I
never messed around with anyone.
I believe you.
Until he left. It's very hard on a woman's confidence. Why shouldn't I have some fun?
You should. Huh? Oh, please, look. Please don't do that. Mrs. Ralph!
What did you say? Mrs. Ralph? Don't you know my name? Go!
Look, I find you very attractive.
You liar!
I do.
So show me.
What do you mean?
Do I turn you on? Here, I'm half naked. Say my name.
Now, wait a minute.
Show me.
I just think you need to develop confidence.
Oh, I got confidence in one thing. There was never much else I was good at. Show me you like it. That's right. I thought you did. You can go home now. Yep. It's for you.
Hello?
Could you tell me what you're doing, please? It's 4 o'clock in the morning. What trouble? So you're alone with her? Yeah, well, I don't imagine it would take so long. So bring him home, right now. I've already made myself sick. Well, wake him up. Okay.
Arrested.
No, we did not get arrested. You were sitting on the bottom of the stairs all night?
Nearly. We get a ride in a police car.
You went out dressed like that?
I was running.
Oh, undressed like that?
The police thought Dad was kidnapping me. Boy, is that weird.
What was Ralph's mother wearing while you were there? Did she wear more clothes than Dad?
Why did you have for supper?
Is there a phone in the kitchen or the bedroom?
You two are so weird. I'm going to bed.
Night. Nothing happened, Helen. I would never do that. What does that mean?
The babysitters.
What babysitters?
Oh, Garp. Come on. How could I not have known? You're so obvious.
They did not.
Don't say that. Who was it? Was it Cindy?
No.
And what was the name of the other one?
Don't do
was
this.
Was it that skinny one?
No.
Sarah, was it? Which one?
Which one? I don't remember her name.
You don't remember her
name. No, it was impulsive.
Shut up.
Okay.
It's beneath me.
I know.
It's beneath you.
I know. I've outgrown it.
Outgrown what? Babysitters?
Yes.
What about lust? Have you outgrown that? No? Not yet. Someday soon? I love you so much. And I know you so well.
There they were, the weapons now in easy reach, the wounds, the names. I had no names yet for retaliation. Is this what we do now? Rip everything to pieces? Is this what I'd done?
Hey, you're late. We playing?
He's left me.
Oh, Roberta, I'm so sorry.
They're proof right, aren't they?
Who?
Everyone.
Ah, screw him.
They said he wouldn't, he has.
He was very young.
Oh, I hate men.
Hey, we're not
You all. Don't care.
I care.
He said I wasn't woman enough. That I confused him. That I was confused. I was some novelty.
You should have punched him.
I don't want to punch him. I'm a woman.
Don't women ever feel like beating the crap out of someone?
I don't know what women feel like. I only know what I feel like.
What is that?
I feel like beating the crap out of him. Oh, I just sat there and took it. I cried. I've been crying all day. He even called me up and said it, and I was still crying. I was faking it.
He's a jerk.
Why are men all like that?
I don't know.
No, you're not.
I probably am.
But you know you are, so that's something. Anyways, I'm not attractive to you, am I?
You're very attractive, Roberta.
Not to you. Tell me the truth.
Well, no, not to me, but to lots of other men.
Well, you're a good friend, and that's more important. I don't find you attractive either.
Well, that's fine.
You're too short. Don't be hurt.
I'm not hurt. You don't be hurt either.
I'm not.
Are we playing? You can beat the crap out of me if it makes you feel any better.
Well, it's a start.
Hey.
In here.
Thought you'd be in bed.
Just working.
Roberta's been dumped. We went for a beer so she could talk me through the fine detail.
That bum.
Why must it always be the best people who get their hearts broken?
You want some wine?
I'll sip on yours. What are you doing? Reading papers?
Oh, it's just the student's work.
Yeah. Michael Milton. I don't know you assigned fiction to your student.
I don't. It's just something he asked me to read. Don't read it.
Is he the one with a mustache took him 3 years to grow, wears a cravat?
He doesn't wear a cravat.
What a gimp.
Stop reading.
I can't help myself. It's compelling stuff.
Give it.
Oh, he tries a bit hard.
He's one of my best graduate students.
Present tense.
He's very bright, but...
But?
I don't know. Young. He's just young, you know? He's very bright, but young.
It's crap.
It's not crap.
Coming to bed?
In a bit. What?
You okay? You look...
What?
I don't know.
I think Walt's starting with a cold. He's all chesty.
You think he'll be okay tomorrow?
Why, you got big plans?
I got things to do.
I wish you'd start writing again.
I will. I am. I'm thinking.
In my dream that night, I could hear the children crying. They were coming down the stairs. Something terrible had awakened them. It was the bombing. I could hear them.
Daddy, I'm having a bad dream.
It's all right, Walt.
Wake me up, Daddy. I can't wake up.
Buddy.
Wake me up.
It's just a bad dream. You're having a dream.
But I knew it was not a dream. That I could not wake him up.
Shit. Oh. Helen? Hey. You still working?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
What time is it?
It's late. Sorry.
Are you coming to bed?
Yeah. Was that Walt having a bad dream?
No, that was me.
Duncan, get your shoes on. Turn that off. We gotta get Walt.
Dad, there's some girl at the door.
Who?
I don't know. She doesn't speak.
Get your shoes. I'll sort it. Hello?
A young woman like a babysitter stood on the doorstep. She held out a piece of paper to
me. Yeah, I know. You're Ellen Jamesian, so what? And I have to say, it sickens me. You're so young.
She still didn't speak. Her note clutched to her breast. She was too young to know.
How can you respect someone who cuts out her own tongue?
What?
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 You can talk?
Yeah.
Is that note for me? Is it for Helen? Are you one of her students?
Yeah.
It's okay. You can leave it with me. It's fine.
I'm so sorry.
Wait, hey, what is this? Have you got the right address?
The note snapped like bones as I opened it. And I guess I knew even before I read it, more or less what it was about.
Your wife is involved with Michael Milton.
Like a disgusting flavor of new ice cream, I could taste him.
We're late. I'm almost got a cold. Dad, and it's starting to rain. Where were you?
Get your coat.
Dad's fault.
Can we go to the park?
It's starting to rain. Put on your coat.
It isn't.
You're sick.
Oh, Dad, just for a bit.
I'm not sick.
Yes, you are.
He's not that sick.
Yes, he is.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
Shut up, Duncan.
You're in a great mood.
Don't kiss me. It's disgusting. You're wet.
Because it's raining, dummy.
He called me a dummy.
I heard him. Grab your shoes.
I'm not a dummy.
Yes, you are.
Shut up, the both of you.
Dad's in a great mood, isn't he?
Sure is.
Don't turn on me. Let's get out of here.
Dad forgot supper.
He forgot supper?
He forgot everything.
Where is he?
He's taking a bath with Walt. They've been out there for hours.
Oh, maybe they've drowned.
Oh, wouldn't you love that?
He's in a great mood.
I can see he is. Had a bad day?
Dad's in the water.
Dad is so weird.
He's holding his breath.
Shall I come up?
Your wife is involved with Michael Milton.
Surprising to see that you care.
Can we talk about this later?
Thank you!
The children haven't eaten?
Nobody's eaten.
I'll get them something. We got eggs, cereal.
For supper? That sounds great.
I just forgot, Duncan.
I want toast.
Well, you can have toast.
I'll make toast.
You sure you can handle it?
Dad, I can handle toast. Even Walt can fix cereal.
The eggs are tricky.
I got it. Come on, Walt. You can run the toaster.
I want bananas and peanut butter and eggs.
I'm sorry. I love you. I never wanted to hurt you. How did you find out? Was it that girl? Look, it's all over now.
Since when?
I'll tell him.
Don't tell him. Let him guess.
I can't do that.
You got shell in my head!
Eat up, I'll take you to a movie.
What are you doing that for?
I'm not staying here with you. We're going out. You call that wimpish asshole. You say goodbye.
He'll want to see me.
Tell him to eat his heart out. You won't see him. Just tell him on the phone. No last.
No one said anything
I'll
about
take the kids
any
out.
Last.
Please have it over with before we get back. You won't see him again.
I won't. I promise. But I should see him just once to tell him.
I suppose you think you've handled this very decently.
We should talk about this later. Some perspective will be possible later.
The cereal spill!
Please, boys. Your father and I are having a little fight. Go downstairs.
What's wrong with that?
Please.
A fight?
Come on.
Why?
Because otherwise we wouldn't have time to see the movie.
Don't touch
Don't
me.
Don't do this. He isn't worth it.
Walt has a cold. He shouldn't even be going now.
Walt hasn't.
You have to eat, Walt, else you grow up to be a wimp.
I'm not gonna grow up.
Don't ever say that.
I don't wanna grow up.
You wanna stay a kid forever?
Yep.
Walt is so weird.
I'm not.
You are so.
Get your coats. Get in the car.
You're weird.
Stop fighting.
You and Mom are fighting.
Bye, kids.
You're an idiot.
You're stupid.
You're poo-faced.
If you let him in the house, he won't get out alive. And you're not to go out.
Darling.
How could you? He's such a wimp.
He could never be anyone like you, don't you see?
What movie are we gonna see?
Anything you want.
Get off!
Move over then!
It's my turn!
Don't think it is.
Ow!
Hey, what's going on?
It's my turn to kneel in the middle.
No kneeling in the middle.
It's the only way you can see.
Ow! He punched
hey,
me.
Hey, no punching.
He's in the way.
It's my turn.
Don't make him cry.
I was here first.
You see this, Duncan? You see this gear shift? The knobs come off. It's like a spear. You want to fall on that if you have to stop hard?
What do you get it fixed?
Get out of the gap between the seats, Duncan.
It's been like that for months.
Weeks.
If it's dangerous, you should get it fixed.
It's your mother's job.
She says it's your job.
How's your cough, Walt?
It's not my fault.
Well, of course it isn't.
Yes, it is. He spends half his life in puddles.
I do not.
Right, okay, here we are. Look for a movie.
Can't see unless I kneel between the seats.
It's as simple as that. It's over. I said it would be over if he ever found out. I can't hurt him any more than I already have. You knew. We both knew. You can't come over. I can't leave the house. No. No, Michael, I'm sorry. You can't. Look. Wait. He'll be back.
Careful you don't choke on that popcorn.
I won't choke.
Blow.
Relax, Dad.
Oh, I should have made her call that twerp and tell him to put it in his ear. Or a light socket and turn on the juice. I'm just gonna call your mother. Asked myself. I should have visited him in the middle of the night.
You need to go. You can't park here on the drive. My husband's coming home.
Please, get in the car with
no,
me.
No, you need to go.
I won't take you anywhere.
You here.
We'll just sit here in the car. We can't just stop.
We'd have to. It was just for a little while.
Please get in. I'm not afraid of him.
Just for 1 minute.
Oh.
just for a minute. Then you have to go. I won't have my husband or my children see this.
But how can we stop?
Michael. This was the nicest part for me. Just letting you drive me in your car.
You're everything to me.
When I knew we were going.
You mean everything. My whole life, I never...
Michael!
Just this one time.
It's over.
Not yet.
Don't spoil it.
You always said you wanted to, but it wasn't safe. Now we're safe.
And then you leave.
We didn't get to see the duel.
Walt's sick.
We'll never know what happened at the end.
Well, it was a terrible movie.
What's it do?
You'll never know.
Cut it out, Duncan. They'll be mean.
Why can't we see
the
end?
You're the one who's mean, Dad.
Yeah, Dad.
You can't even see.
I live here. I don't need to see.
Why are you rolling the window down?
It's cold.
I need it open to see.
I thought you said you could see.
I'm too cold.
It's over. It's almost over. I want it to be over. I just want us. Just us. Just our family.
Oh, Dad, do the driveway trick.
Go, Dad. Switch off the lights.
Got a gear.
I hit the bottom of the driveway at 40, then popped the sharp stick shift into neutral, killed the engine, flicked off the lights. It was like the moment when an airplane lifts off the runway. I could feel the children at my elbow, crowding each other for the middle gap.
It's like on the water.
It's like a dream.
Then I saw the car.
In The World According to Garp, Jenny was played by Miranda Richardson, Garp by Lee Ingleby, and Helen by Lindsay Marshall. John Wolfe was John Garasio, Roberta Muldoon, Jonathan Keeble, Duncan, Adam Thomas Wright, and Walt, Adam Greaves-Neal. Mrs. Ralph was played by Charlotte Emerson, Mrs. Poole by Caris Ellery, and Michael Milton by Harry Jardine. The World According to Garp was written by John Irving, dramatised by Linda Marshall Griffiths, and it was directed by Nadia Molinari.